first one. I'm going to read the King James Version first, and then I'm going to read the Amplified. If you've brought your Bibles and you have, you're at Psalms 1, say amen. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word, and in his law, his word, doth he meditate day and night. Now, because he's meditating on a day and night, and he's not walking with in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the seat of the way of the sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. This is what God says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Pray, Lord, that you will speak through me, and that you will be blessed, and that we will learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified now. Verse 1, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit or down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts, his teaching, his word, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. It's a powerful scripture right there. Kind of gives you the complete picture of walking with God. About a year or two ago, I was at a friend's house, and I saw a shirt, and there's a clothing line. It's called True North. And I saw the shirt, and it said, find your true north. And the wheels started turning. Find your true north. Sounds like a lot like find your own truth. And so wheels started going, and started thinking about that. And looked into True North, and found out some interesting things, and so I'm going to share that with you tonight. True North is the direction that points straight to the North Pole. By the way, I was telling my wife about this, and she goes, Mike, you need like a seventh grade version of this. So I said, okay, I'm going to try to get the seventh grade version of this. Straight to the North Pole, which is at the very top of the globe. And I have a globe here just to show you. Here, hold this for just a second. So True North is this spot right here. It never changes. True North stays the same. It never moves, never goes anywhere. It is what our GPS system goes by. Thank you. It's what we do nowadays to travel. It directs everything. Everything, everywhere you go, if you use GPS, is based off of True North. Everything. If you're on a cruise, you're directed by True North. So we have two norths. Did you know that? There's True North and there's Magnetic North. Now, Magnetic North is what we use the compass for. How many remember the compass? The compass went off of magnetic north, which always moved according to the Earth's magnetic field. And so if you went by the compass, you had to do math. To be right. You have to do math. You have to figure out the difference between magnetic north and true north to go in the right direction. Magnetic north travels. So if you were walking towards the North Pole and you're trying to walk in a straight line and you use magnetic north, you will not hit the North Pole. You will miss it. According to the British Observatory, in 2019, true north and magnetic north aligned for the first time in 360 years. It has soon moved on. It is now 4.24 degrees off of true north. And you're like, boy, that's not a lot. That's truly not a lot. Well, consider this. If you drew a line from Los Angeles or from New York to Los Angeles, and you were 1 degree off, you are 43 miles off. You would miss the city of Los Angeles. That 1 degree moves so much in such a short time that if you drew a line from New York to Philadelphia, you would be off by 7 miles. So if you translate that into the 4.24, you would hit San Diego instead of Los Angeles, which is 112 miles away. So I tried to find out what is 112 miles away from Belleville. Let me just tell you, there's a lot of cornfields. So the closest I could get is Carbondale, Illinois. So if you were 4.26 miles, 24 degrees off, you would end up in Carbondale instead of Belleville. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference. And so that following magnetic north has its issues. There's some problems with following the magnetic north. Magnetic north is like our culture. It changes. I'm just going to say, just at the top, culture changes, and I'm not a big fan of this, but how many are a big fan of the mullet-mustache combo that has come back? We have one. Culture changes. Culture moves and just kind of is fluid. It kind of moves back and forth. What was great last year is not great this year. And what's great this year probably won't be great next year. Look at the language that we have. Used to be daddy-o and cool. And now daddy-o was before my time. Groovy. Now we have words that I don't want to say because I don't know if I'm cussing or not. So, I mean, now it's cool to make up words that are longer than the original word that you were trying to say. But that's culture. It moves. It changes. In 1975, this is how crazy culture is. 1975, a guy named Gary Dahl, he was an advertising executive. He was listening to his friends complain about their pets. And Dahl jokingly suggested that, you know what would be the perfect pet? A rock. Because it would never get sick. It would always be obedient. You won't have to feed it. You don't have to clean up after it. And so he goes, he says, he starts thinking, and he makes a package that looks like little transport for a little animal, and he puts rocks in it and sells them for $4 a piece. He sold over 1 million of them. A rock. Now, at my house, my dad said, just go out to the yard, pick you up one. That's for free. Today's value, that would be $23. $23 for a rock. And how many of you parents are going to go, you know what? Let's do it. Not at my house. But that's how crazy culture is. First, there was MySpace. Ashton, that was before Facebook. Then there came Facebook, then Instagram, then TikTok. They're probably developing the next one. And it'll come out in a little bit. And it's just crazy how culture changes. Now, all change is not wrong. It's not bad. Change is not bad. That is a great graphic that I had for this message. Overheads change. How many of you remember the little machine that you had to put the plastic things on? Yeah. Uh-huh. Transparencies. You had to run up there with the next song. Whoever was running the songs hated medleys. But times change. Not all change is bad. Now I'm no longer running to the middle of the platform putting a plastic piece of paper on the overheads. It's great. But a lot of times, change that is not based on true north will mess us up. See, magnetic north is like the ungodly, the sinner, the scornful. And magnetic north has a strong pull, just as culture has a strong pull. You can see it in what we wear, how we dress, how we wear our hairstyles. No mullets. But culture has a strong pull on us, and we have to be careful that the culture that we allow to influence us aligns with true north. Because true north never changes. People say it's my truth. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That one degree, that one step, that one thing that you have to compromise on, or you're unwilling to give to the Lord. You hear people say, follow your heart. Don't worry, I got a scripture for that too. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's why we don't follow our feelings. It's why we can't go by our feelings. Because feelings aren't truth. Feelings change with the magnetic pull of culture. So we can't follow our feelings. We can't follow our heart, because how many of you has dated as a young person and thought, man, this was the one, and then you broke up 2 weeks later? Come on, you all were young people at one point in time. This is the one. You're in junior high. Your heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Do what feels right to you. Galatians 5:16 and 17. I'm going to read the Amplified. But I say, walk habitually in the Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. True North. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively, magnetically, without regard for God and His precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit. And the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as a believer, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Reminds me of the Romans, Paul going, I do what I do, don't do, and I don't do what I want to do, and the whole tongue twister. It's when we allow our flesh, which is pulled by culture and the magnetic pull of culture, rule us or have even a say, is when we get off course. Culture is always going to move. 5 years ago, Magnetic North and True North lined up for just a little bit, and then it was gone. And I'll repeat, 1 degree gets you far off course. Think of how the sailors came when they left Europe, coming to the America. If they were 1 degree off, they would never make the right spot. Just 1 degree. Because true north is where we have to have our guidance. True north, God, the word of God, never changes. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Culture or magnetic north wants us to believe that we can do whatever we want. There's many ways to God. You don't have to be holy. When IBC released John 1, oh my goodness. All these, it was like, come on now, people. But you had people going under having a Pentecostal church speak about the Trinity and then try to call it oneness. Pentecostal church who believes that you have to speak in tongues when you don't have to. 1 degree, and you go way off course. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Pastor, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. If you go a tenth degree off, you're still not going to make where you're supposed to be going. Narrow is the gate. It doesn't give you a whole lot of leeway to do whatever your flesh wants, whatever you want, whatever I want, because it's narrow. There are some places in St. Louis that you can only get one car through at a time. And let me tell you, narrow is not always fun, especially when you're meeting opposition. There has to be choices made. And you don't want to damage your car, so you're wanting to stay right in the middle of that narrow road. There's no time for you to go 1 degree off and scrape up the side of your car. Narrow is the way. People want to say that, you know what, that was for the book of Acts. That was for the Bible. That's different now. We're under different sayings. We don't have to do that. We don't have to live holy. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The same God that delivered the Israelites is the same God that delivers us. The same God that healed the sick is the same God that heals us. The same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same fire that fills us today. He never changes. True North never changes. It's the one constant. You know, even the continents move and shift. The one constant thing on earth is True North. we have to lead our lives according to true north. And unless we really know true north, then it's easy to get off the path. So what is true? How do we know what true north is? The Word of God. If you're not reading this daily, you're going to have issues. Let me just, if you're not studying this daily, you're going to have issues. Because it's okay to read. You should read. And you know what? I listen to it also. And that's great. But it doesn't replace studying the Word. It doesn't replace 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And unless you get into the Word and study it, get the context, you can see a whole lot of memes and a whole lot of reels of people that have read one verse and made a whole doctrine off of it. They didn't read the verse before, and they didn't read the verse after. They didn't read the book before. They didn't find the context of what was going on. They read one verse and said, oh, I like this, how it says it. So this is what I'm going to follow. And that one degree can lead to destruction. See, the greatest GPS is God's Word. Studying, if you're like me, studying does not come easy. Some of you are great studiers. I am not. It takes work. I really have to work at it. It takes time, effort. I get frustrated sometimes. I get up and go do something else for a minute. Becky knows when I'm like, she sees me walk off and do something. Because studying doesn't come easy to me. It never has. But it doesn't give me an out to not study. Just because it doesn't come easy doesn't mean you don't, oh, you know what? God's not going, oh, it's, I know it's difficult. You get a pass on that. Yeah. No, he's going, study my word. The more you get into it, the more you're going to love it, the more you're going to know it, and the better you're going to be at directions that I give you for your life. If you're seeking direction for your life, you don't need to come only when there's prophets here. You don't need to come and, you know, I love Pastor, and I would talk to Pastor. I talked to Pastor many times on decisions I've had to make. But you need the Word. You need the Word. So if you're needing direction in your life, you need to get in the Word. You need to study the Word. Sister Madden said that things will pop out after you pray and then you get in the Word. Things will start popping out at you. And they do. And then you get the concordance out and you start getting, what does this word really mean? And what is that? Where is this? How does this flow through the Bible? Because there's themes that run, just go from front to back. And you can find them. And then when you start finding them, if you're like me, you're like, whoa, I didn't see that. Whoa. And then it starts to become a little easier because, well, God's opening up my understanding as I put the effort in to study. Psalm 73, 24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. So as we allow him to guide us, our end goal is heaven. But we have to allow him to guide us with his word. Psalms 19, 10 and 11, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart. That means turning off the TV sometimes. putting down the phone, putting down the tablet or iPad. You know, maybe not talking to a friend for a while. With my whole heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You want to sin less? You want to walk a little holier? You want to walk more righteous in the eyes of God? Hide the word in your heart. Meditate on his word habitually. If you want to be develop a habit or something that you're addicted to, get addicted to reading the word. Get addicted to studying the word. There is amazing things in this word. Some amazing things, and we've just scratched the surface of what we know. God has some amazing things there. It's when we hide the word that when we face a temptation, when we face trouble, that we can go, it is written. Because Jesus gave us how the method of how to do that. When we face temptation, we use the word. It is written. You want to see the devil take off, have him come up and tempt you, and you go, you know what, devil, it is written. You want to sit down and go, hey, devil, you want a Bible study? Here we go. I've heard people say, I've invited the Mormons in to talk to them and stuff. Well, sometimes we need to get that same attitude when the enemy comes to us. And we need to go, oh, you want to go? Let's have a seat and let's go. Here's the word. I heard someone say one time they woke up and they saw a demon standing at the end of their bed. And they went, it's just you. Rolled over, went back to bed. Because there was no fear. When you have the word hidden in your heart and you're seeking God every day, there is no fear. There's no need to fear because God's got you in his hands. Sister Madden spoke a little bit about praying the word. And Psalms 119 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Yes, it takes about 20, 25 minutes to read. But it's a totally cool chapter. We don't know who wrote it, but every line ends with God's word, God's commandment, God's law. It's continually talking about the word of God. Verse 18 and 19 of chapter 119 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Start praying that before you read the word. Open mine eyes so I can see the wondrous things. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Lord, I don't belong here. So show me the path that you want me to go. Help me to walk the way you want me to go. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. We read it at the beginning. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God is the man that avoids magnetic north and habitually meditates on true north. Pushes away magnetic north, but embraces and habitually reads and studies his word. When you're reading through Psalms, most of it is written by David, but there's other authors, but you can see why David is called a man after God's own heart. Because he loves the word. He loves the word. But you can see where the kings of Israel and Judah kind of messed up. Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19 says, and it shall be, talking about the king of Israel at the time, all kings, God was laying out the plan that if they had to have a king, these are the rules that the king has to live by. And it shall be that when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them. At some point in time, they stopped doing it. Because later on, Josiah, when Josiah was king, it says that the high priest found the book of the law. How do you find something if it's not lost? So if you want to know why there's such crazy kings going on in Judah and in Israel, it's because they left what they were supposed to do. They stopped reading the word. They stopped meditating on the word. And this was supposed to be daily. And it doesn't say just read. It says write. Write these commandments. You're supposed to learn these forward and backwards. Understand them. Obey them. See, it just doesn't stop in the Old Testament, but the New Testament is full of quotes and references from the Old Testament. The New Testament is full of men quoting the word. Jesus quoted Isaiah and other things. If you read Stephen's sermon in Acts 7, man, that is a cool thing. You read through that, he's not sitting there reading, he doesn't have the iPad. He's standing there with men that are angry at him, and he goes down the history of Israel and then starts telling them where they went wrong by crucifying Jesus. That's because he learned, he studied, he spent time. He got them so mad that they stoned him. So we need to read and study, because 1 Peter 3:15, I'm sorry, Sister Ruth, I didn't give you this because I just got it. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elicited by faith that is within you. Always be ready to have an answer. When that coworker comes up and goes, I know that you're going through this sickness. I know you're going through this trial and this heartache. How can you be so happy? How can you have a smile on your face? See, if we're not in the Word, we can't go, we're just like, Jesus? But it's times like that that we can go, you know what? Because God's word is so assuring. See, right here, the Bible says this, this, and this. Right here it says, and it can be, you can have the right word at the right time to reach that person. Because we have to be ready. You want to see souls being won, we have to be ready. It's just not ready so that someone takes our seat, we're okay with it. But we have to be ready to give Bible studies. We have to be ready to answer questions. That's up to us. We have to be ready. Sunday morning, Becky talked about Paul quoting Habakkuk. And this is more on the New Testament quoting the Old Testament. And she talked about the Becky version of Acts 16. Again, this is the Becky version of Paul and Silas in prison. And recalling Habakkuk 3, where Shigayon, the word Shigayon, which means a wild and ruckus praise. And we were laughing about this because I said, it would be cool is have two people go up and have them all in stocks, act like they're in stocks. And one be Paul and one be Silas. And they're sitting there. They're bleeding. They're in pain. They're in darkness. They're chained up. They can't really move. It's not a pleasant place to be. And you can see, I don't know if they could see each other or not because of the darkness. Because a lot of times it was just in a cave or it was underground. But you can hear Paul kind of mulling over in his head. Now, this is according to Mike and Becky version of Acts 16. And Paul going, You know what, Silas? This reminds me of just, we need to praise. I'll praise him when I feel it. Silas may go, I'll praise him when I don't. Oh yeah, Silas, I'll praise because I know he's still in control. Silas goes back to Paul. Well, my praise is a weapon. It's more than just noise. It's just more than just sound. Paul goes, oh yeah? My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. And then they both go, praise the Lord. Because if you think about it, God has these examples of things that, of people that have gone through things that really today here in the United States, we really don't understand. Right now, there's people being beheaded around the world. There's villages that they're going in and taking the Christians, whether they're oneness Pentecostals or just someone that says they're Christian and loves Jesus, and they're killing them. We don't really face that kind of stuff. We sit in air conditioned, thank the Lord for air conditioning. We sit in air conditioning sanctuaries when that's not what happens all around the world. We travel 20 minutes and we're going, oh my goodness, that's tough. 20 minutes to go to church. When there's people that ride a train for 3 hours. That's why, you want to know why pastor preaches really long time? Because when you're in those situations, people that have traveled 3 hours, they're not wanting Mike to come preach for 20, 25 minutes. They're wanting to hear a sermon. They're not sitting on nice padded pews and padded chairs. They're coming and going, if you're going to go, let's go. We're blessed, but sometimes our culture of a fast service, our culture of we need to get to lunch at 12:30, can step in and block what God is wanting us to do. That magnetic north of, well, you know what? It has to be really big show to have people come to church. When God's going, just get them in the building, I'll show you. Or just open your mouth. I'll give you the words. You want to see miracles on your job site? Allow God to work through you. You want to see miracles in a school? Allow God to work through you. You know, oh, we'll get in trouble if we start talking about religion. You let someone get healed at the job site, there ain't nobody going to be complaining about the religion. They're going to be going, yeah, what's going on here? What happened here? Why? What'd you do? Well, I didn't do nothing. I just prayed, and God did everything. We have this magnetic north mentality where we want things to happen now. The microwave. We need things fast. So, Pastor, if we could have short song service, we don't need an extra thing on Sunday night. We don't need an extra service during the week. Oh, Pastor, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday revival? Oh, my goodness. My kids got to go to school. We want everything fast when we should be going, Lord, what's your plan? What's your plan for Belleville? How can we as a church, as a congregation, be prepared for what you're about to pour out in Belleville? And how can we be in the middle of it and be in and be a big part of it so that you will get the glory and that we will see this building filled? That's where we should be. You know what? What if God says, I want you to do a 7-day revival? I just heard, felt everybody go, don't tell Pastor that. But what if God's leading us to that? What if that's the only way we can get all the people in? What happens when we fill the sanctuary on a Sunday morning and we still have people to get in here? And we have to go to two services right back to back. And we need our workers, us, to facilitate that, where we don't go home, but we see souls saved. We see people healed. We see the miraculous, because we're going, True North is where I want to go. I want to be led by the Spirit every second of my life. Every second of my life. Could we all stand? If you are having battles in the mind tonight, if you're really battling things in your mind, if you have problems with your thought life, if you have problems where you are obsessed with things that are not of God, get in the Word. It's a choice you have to make. It's a choice I have to make. We have to be in the Word. We have to know the Word. God has some great things planned for this church. God has some great things for the city and the surrounding. We need to add on Swansea and Shiloh and Freeburg and Millstadt and Muskoda. There's too many people for three churches is what we have right now in the area. We need Faith Family to start being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptizing in Jesus' name, walking a holy life. We need Grace. Edgemont. This big Catholic church up here, it has a full parking lot. That'd be a great place for there to be a Holy Ghost revival. We don't have to have the city of Belleville come to this church. But if we start outreaching, it's not really that we have to go knock on doors. You just reach the people God puts in front of you. And when you have the Word in your heart, you're able to speak like Stephen did. And just go, hey, this is what happened. This is what God did. This is what God is doing. That's why Paul didn't have a bunch of notes in front of him when he preached all night. He preached all night because he allowed God to speak through him because he was in the Word. God has some great things for this city. This is not just the amount of people that are going to go to heaven from Belleville. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, there's going to be a breaking out from the north to the south to the east and the west. That's happening. But you're either going to be a part of it or you'll be utterly destroyed. I don't know about you, but that utterly destroying thing, I'm really not up for that. So I'd rather be a part of it, right in the middle of it. You know what? If it takes more of my time to facilitate more services, or it takes more of my time to facilitate Bible studies, then so be it. To see the great things that God is going to do and is doing right now. There are inroads being made at Chick-fil-A. I'm fully praying that there is a mighty revival at Chick-fil-A. That there's a bunch of people at Chick-fil-A that get filled with the Holy Ghost, not just here, but at Chick-fil-A. Why can't customers get the Holy Ghost at Chick-fil-A? Why not? Why not in your neighborhood? We should be praying, Lord, I pray for every house on this block that there will be holy hands lifted to you. That everyone in this block, that this block will be known for peace because of your spirit just saturating this block because every house has holy hands lifted to you. God is great. But the only way to be directed and guided by him is to get in his word. True north. True north. Follow true north. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. That's you and me. When we get into his word, that's you and me. Whatever he does will prosper. That's not us going, ooh, I want $1 million. That's when we start getting into the words and we start following his will. Whatever we do is going to prosper. When we start speaking to the people that he wants us to speak to, we're going to see healings. We're going to see healings at Walmart and Target and at the grocery store and at our jobs. We're going to see people being filled with the Holy Ghost because we're going, God, where's the next person? What's next for me? Who do you want me to talk to now? Door of utterance open. Lord, I pray that you open a door of utterance for me so that I can speak to people today about you. Can we lift our hands? Lord, you are such an awesome God. We worship you and praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to come and become more in love with your word than ever before. I pray, Lord, that we will become in love with your word and that we will study it every day, that we will hide your word in our hearts and that you will light our path that you want us to walk with, that we will align with you, true north, that we will push aside magnetic north and the culture and the things that will lead us away from you, but we will lean to you and we will follow you and do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you will open up opportunities for us to speak to our neighbors. I pray that you will open opportunities to speak to our coworkers and the people that we've come in contact with through the day. And that you will give us a boldness to speak and that you will give us the words to speak, Lord. That we will not just see miracles, signs, and wonders here inside the building, but those will go outside these four walls, and that we will see people saved. We will see people receive your spirit outside these four walls. Lord, I pray for Grace Church. I pray for Edgemont Church. I pray for Faith Family and the churches of this area. Lord, I pray that there will be a truth come to them. I pray that they will be filled with your spirit and they will preach truth. They will embrace truth. That they will be filled with your spirit and live a holy life. Lord, that every church in this city will come to know you and walk with you. And talk with you and align with true north. You are such an awesome God. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Lord, let it start with me. Lord, I submit myself to your word. I pray that your word will speak to me. I submit myself to following your rules and your laws and your commandments. Lord, I submit myself to your word that I will follow it, Lord, and I will study it. Lord, I submit myself to your will, that your will be done in my life and my family in this city, Lord. That this old man will die and that I will follow true north. Every day, every moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.